Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
Listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And that is Chuck Berry with Johnny B. Goode. A great guitar riff, Greg, a great song about being a guitarist playing riffs. Pretty good place for us to start our discussion of guitar riffs in rock and roll. Let me define what a riff is, and then you can give us some of the classics to get us rolling. It's not completely limited to rock and roll. There's a term in classical music, ostinato, right, which is a repeated rhythmic phrase, a hook. And of course, the jazz guys throughout the history of jazz were big on riffs that would, in between moments of improvisation, bring you back to a song. There's a classic 1945 Charlie Parker recording called Thriving from a Riff, which may have launched the popularization of that term. But in rock and roll, it's a hook, a musical hook that's repeated several times rhythmically, most often on the guitar.
Yeah, Jim, I think it's the part of the song that you can hum in a lot of ways. You know, people talk about the guitar solo in rock a lot, but you can't hum a solo, or at least only in very rare instances. But a riff is something that sticks with you. It recurs throughout the song in many instances and stays with you in the same way that a chorus might.
Yeah, it can be a chord pattern or can be individual notes.
So you think about a song like Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit or Tony Iommi's on Black Sabbath's Iron Man. Or Jack White on the White Stripes Seven Nation Army. Those riffs are integral to how those songs sound and how we remember them. But we're going to stay away, hopefully, from some of the more obvious ones and dig a little deeper, as we like to do on Sound Opinions. Jim, you're going to start us off. What do you got?
Greg, for the most part, I think with our picks here, we're going to try to be not so very obvious, but it's impossible to talk about guitar riffs and not talk about Led Zeppelin. We have to have one Led Zeppelin selection to be certain. Jimmy Page was a master of the guitar riffs. Most of the hooks in the greatest Led Zeppelin songs come from his riffs. He was just incredibly talented at creating guitar hooks. One of my favorites that's a little less heralded than others is The Ocean from Houses of the Holy in 1973. You know, the album before, the untitled fourth album, had Stairway to Heaven, and that gets all the hype. But I actually think Houses of the Holy, song for song, is a better record. As a kid struggling to learn how to play drums, I think the song that taught me what a time signature was The Ocean, because there's one bar of 4-4, so you're counting 8 to the floor, and then a bar of 7-8. What is that? Oh my goodness, right? So the riff sets the rhythm, and it's got these two different time signatures, and I was like, oh, I can learn how to count, right? And I wasn't even a guitar fan. Plus, it's just catchy as heck. It's just a wonderful, wonderful riff. Listen to what I'm talking about. Led Zeppelin with The Ocean on Sound Opinions. man, that guitar riff from Jimmy Page, The Ocean by Led Zeppelin. You gotta love that. What's your first riff to highlight, Mr. Cott?
Well, Jim, I've got to start with AC/DC for a number of reasons. You got this great Australian band's first 6-7 records, and they are just full of great guitar riffs. There are two great guitarists in this band, the brothers Angus and Malcolm Young. Angus is the guy that gets all the glory. He's the guy strutting around in the schoolboy suit, getting all the solos, playing to the crowd. Malcolm is the guy hanging back by the speaker stacks. Nobody really notices him, but he is the pulse of that band. Some sad news, of course, about Malcolm Young. For AC/DC fans, they've been lamenting this loss for a number of years. In 2014, Malcolm was diagnosed with dementia and is now officially out of the band. But I go back to my original analysis, Jim. The band is Malcolm Young in many ways. I think one of the great riff albums of all time is that 1979 AC/DC album, Highway to Hell. If I'm going to go back to one AC/DC album, it's probably this one. It was the last one with Bon Scott as the lead vocalist, and this is prime AC/DC. Robert Mutt Lange was the producer on that record, and he gave a ringing clarity to those riffs. And you can hear it at the start of the song where Angus begins and then Malcolm comes in, and you see these counterpoint riffs going back and forth against each other, creating the sense of tension that continues throughout the song.
It's like Serena and Venus Williams playing tennis, those two brothers playing guitar.
Oh, absolutely. And it's apparent throughout that album, but I particularly love that interplay on AC/DC's Shot Down in Flames from 1979 on Sound Opinions. That is AC/DC with Shot Down in Flames, one of the greatest riff songs of all time from 1979. Now we're going to hear from some of our listeners about their picks for great guitar riffs. And first up is Heather in Dover, New Hampshire. Welcome to Sound Opinions, Heather.
Thank you so much.
All right, give us a great guitar riff.
Oh, that's so easy. It's the beginning of Sticky Fingers, Can't You Hear Me Knockin'? The thing that kills me is just, it's the intro, and it's like this slow, steady layering of sound that just comes in, and it just kind of fills up your ears, and between Mick Taylor and Keith Richards, and then Charlie Watts with that lazy drum beat that comes in, it just kills me. It's kind of like listening to a six-layer sandwich.
Heather, my question for you is the awesomeness of Keith Richards. I mean, they call the guy King Riff. How do you choose just one Stone song?
That's it, because, you know, by definition, a riff is just this, you know, repeated few chords that are played that other people then come in and play over. He nails it, and it's funny. I actually went in and read about the recording of that song. It was down in Muscle Shoals. And according to Mick Taylor, you know, they thought that the stereo equipment had been turned off. And they just kept playing, and that's when, like, the whole Latin percussion thing came in, and they just caught it all on tape. Keith Richards, he said that, you know, he just started playing that one little riff, and that's where the whole song came from. And if you think about really great songs, a lot of them have that kind of slow introduction, and I went back and looked at some of my favorites, like Whipping Post. Of course, that leads in with a bass, but then the riff comes in on top of that, or Why Can't I Touch It by the Buzzcocks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right.
I have a little bit of a music problem. I'm kind of a nerd.
Oh, it's not a problem. This is where you can admit. The first step, you know, is listening to Sound Opinions and admitting you have a problem, and we embrace you for it. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you for being there for me, guys.
You're welcome. Let's talk to Nathan in Minneapolis. Nathan, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of the show.
Well, thank you very much. Have you got an all-time great guitar riff?
Yes, I do. My choice would be the song Who Loves You Better by the Isley Brothers from the 1976 album Harvest for the World.
Ernie Isley, an incredible guitarist, you know, as we've interviewed him. He's told us how he taught this young kid, Jimmy, how to play a few licks.
Right.
Hendrix.
Right.
What do you love about that song in particular?
First time I heard it, which, you know, I don't know if it's the best known Isley Brothers songs, but the first time I heard it, just the first 5 or 10 seconds, or, you know, just set goose pimples on the back of my neck. And, you know, that's sort of the function, I think, of any good riff, is to give you that sort of charge from the very beginning. And I think this is one of those songs. Not only does it have a very great riff, but it just has a killer opening few seconds that sort of establishes, yeah, as you said, this great Ernie Isley sort of Hendrix influenced psychedelic, but still really funky riff.
You know, I've long thought that no guitarist anywhere in any genre should be allowed to use the wah-wah pedal, except for Ernie Isley.
He had that liquid gold sound, right, Nathan?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I put him in a class with maybe Hendrix, obviously, and also Eddie Hazel as guys, I think, who I think could master the wah-wah pedal, and definitely added it as sort of an interesting funk element in a lot of music, and was imitated a lot, I think, in a lot of funk bands in the 70s.
Yeah, Eddie Hazel from Funkadelic.
Yeah. And people may not realize that, you know, we're mentioning Hendrix as an influence on Ernie Isley. The reason Hendrix was such an influence was that he, in fact, toured with the Isley Brothers in the 60s before anybody knew who Hendrix was, and the Isley Brothers were kind of in between hits, so it wasn't like their biggest era, but very formative influence on Ernie Isley's playing, and that's a great choice. That's a deep cut, Nathan. I'm glad you're going there instead of something like Who's That Lady, which is a little probably a little more obvious.
Sure.
Thank you, Nathan, and thanks for listening to the show.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know, Greg, I think that there's a rockist bent to the use of guitar, as if only rock bands have used guitar and guitar riffs well. That is absolute nonsense. So for my second pick, right up top here, I'm going to make the point that R&B, funk, and in the disco era, those bands all used guitar incredibly well, often to provide the primary hook of a song, or at least, you know, right up there with the horns. The Ohio Players were a funk R&B band from Ohio, recorded their 7th album here in Chicago, though, and this produced their most famous hit, Love Roller Coaster. What you get is this rhythm guitar riff, right, which is like the roller coaster cart heading up the hill, and then it swoops down. They're trying to make the comparison between a romantic relationship and roller coaster. It has its ups and downs. Here's the Ohio Players on Sound Opinions. Love Roller Coaster by the Ohio Players. What a funky riff, Greg. Later covered by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and a scarcity of credits on their albums, but I know that Leroy Sugarfoot Bonner was one of the guitarists.
After a break, we'll continue talking about what we think are the best guitar riffs. Then, later, we're going to review the new record by metal band The Obsessed. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.